ENYA is a not-for-profit organisation established in 2003 to create Australia's future enterprise leaders with a focus on innovative businesses. ENYA provides access to funding, mentoring and education for entrepreneurs Australia-wide.
Hi everyone, my name is Matt. I'm from Bound by Story. I'm here on behalf of the Enterprise Network for Young Australians. I have a very special guest here tonight with me. Her name's Lisa Marie. She's the co-founder of Glamazon and also the founder of Lisa Marie, the brand. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. Look, Lisa, we want to kind of get straight into it. We want to know why ENYA. Why have you chosen to kind of jump on board with ENYA?
Well, when I started my first business around 10 years ago, there was no support for budding entrepreneurs like myself. So I found going through a founder's journey by yourself is really lonely, and there's no one to lean on, and there's no one to share the highs with or the lows with. So ENYA really resonated with me. I want to help people who have a vision and a goal to succeed, and I want to be able to give back and to share my learnings. And even if I can help one person, I feel like I've done my job there. So
that's amazing. And like, it's a very strong passion that you have there. And that must have happened at a very early age, I feel. Like you seem like a visionary. What was it like for the 18-year-old Lisa Marie?
Well, my story was very different back then. At 18, I'd finished school at 17 at high school, and I was at university studying graphic design. I wasn't a great student at university. I didn't have a great attention span, so I would sit in lectures and kind of drift off. And anyway, I muddled through my university degree and came out qualified as a graphic designer. And at that stage, I tried to get a job. I couldn't get a job. I tried to volunteer my time to work for free, and no one would take me on because they didn't want to spend the time training someone who didn't know anything. So I just studied for 3 years, and I'd come to a point where I was like, what am I actually going to do with my life? Because I can't get a job. I can't volunteer my time. And it led me to looking around for something else. And at that point in time, there was a government-funded small business course called NEES. And it was basically a business management course that you'd go through for 6 to 8 weeks and learn how to start a business, how to manage a business. And at the end of that course, you could present your business idea to a panel of 3 judges. And if they liked your idea or approved of your idea, they granted you $10,000 to start that business. And so it was almost like a mini Shark Tank, if you want to think about it like that.
Wow.
So that was the progression. And I got to the end of that course and I was granted the $10,000. And with that $10,000, I started my first business, which was an online fashion store.
That's amazing. And I kind of want to jump in there and talk about how understanding a little bit about the graphic design world.
Mm-hmm.
Bound by Story is a creative agency, so you know we know the struggles of what it's like to kind of have your baby or your idea out there for someone to judge. And for you to kind of talk about how at a young age you were so comfortable talking in front of some influential business people that are about to invest in you, it's a big sign as to where you've come. And that's very interesting. And like, it's nice to know that you have some kind of design heritage, I guess. less about business, more about your passions. Like what's Lisa Marie's passions?
What my passions are?
Yeah, what are your passions?
My business passions or my
personal
passions?
Personal passions. Personal. What do you get up to on the weekends? What's the thing that gets you away from business?
Yeah, okay. So I'm a very spiritual person, so I believe you can manifest things in your life. And for me, waking up and being able to be calm and go and sit by the ocean and just relax is amazing because my work weeks are intense. I have a company in America and a company in Australia, and I feel like 24/7 around the clock, I'm on the job. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for me to detach from that and come down to a level. I almost feel like when I come home from work, I need to sit outside for 5 minutes before I go into the house because I'm revving at this high speed from coming off the day of work to just decompress and get into the home. So my weekends are definitely about decompressing, relaxing. I paddleboard. Mm-hmm. I have a little dog and she stands on the front of my paddleboard and we go around Vaucluse and Rose Bay together. That's a passion of mine and just really like decompressing and being real.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's good to hear how people, I guess, sort of cope with the stresses and the high pace environment that you're in, high stress environments as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So do you want to kind of explain some of the heritage behind Lisa Marie, the brand? Let's go kind of back in time from a business point of view and, mm-hmm. and talk about the growth of that, which I'm pretty sure was the first business that started, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So after university, as you know, I couldn't get the job. I did this business management course and I was granted $10,000.
Yep.
So that $10,000 was paid over a period of quite a few months. I think they allocated a certain amount a week. And with that, I built an online fashion store. So at the start of Lisa Marie, it wasn't called Lisa Marie. It was a fashion store and I was importing clothes from America and around the world and selling them in Australia. And I even think at that stage, I just had a hunger for more. I was never okay with just the normal, the status quo. So while I was doing that, I was also designing my own clothes on the side with my graphic design background.
Mm-hmm.
And I started selling swimsuits via my website as well. So I would like sneak in a few of my own designs as well as the main fashion brands that I was importing. And they started to sell and they started to sell a little more. And I thought, hang on a minute, I might have something here. So I was doing this out of the second bedroom of my home, and I think I took a box of 8 swimsuits to a local publicist in Sydney at the time, and I sort of popped my swimsuits down on the table and I said, can we do anything with this? And that was the very start of Lisa Marie. So yeah. I spoke to this publicist. She was like, yeah, we can definitely do something here. And you're going to do Sydney Fashion Week. I'll put you in a group show and that's going to be the start of the fashion line. And so that was the inception right at that point when I had that meeting. It didn't have a name yet and we kind of decided on all of that together. At the point of me doing the fashion show in Sydney, I don't know if it was divine timing or what you want to call it, but there was an agent from New York in my in the audience of my show. And she saw my collection and she pulled me aside after the show and she said, I love this. I want to take you to America. Are you open to it? And, you know, I'm a very young, very green, budding fashion designer.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting to me, but also really scary.
Yeah.
But we had a few meetings and I felt comfortable with her. And next thing I was in Miami doing Miami Swim Fashion Week. And the turning point for me for this business, for Lisa Marie, was being at Miami Fashion Week and Net-a-Porter, which is the luxury e-tailer of the world. It's probably the biggest luxury website in fashion. The buyer saw my show and picked up my label on the debut in America, and everything kind of snowballed from there. So that was that epic point in time where I was like, hang on a minute, there's something here and this is going to be big.
That's incredible. Like, it's the opportunity and you jumped on it, you striked, and the exposure you got, which was huge. And was it your first fashion week?
Yeah, so Sydney Fashion Week, my first one, and then I did Miami, and then I did quite a few after that. But yeah, it was the very start. And again, I don't know, divine timing, or if I believe in manifestation. And so just really believing in something. And I've always looked on the positive side and I've never let those negative thoughts come into my mind. And so I always just strive for the goal and try not to think about what if this happens and what if that happens.
Yeah, like we always put ourselves in that position and have those barriers up for us. But it's great to hear how you've overcome them, or not even overcome them. You never had them in the first place because it's the vision that you had, right? Like it's incredible.
And I thought at that age too, what have I got to lose?
Yeah.
Like, really, when you look at life and what have I got to lose? I'm just going to go all in. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm all in here and it's going to succeed.
It's learning. It's all a learning curve. That's amazing. Do we want to kind of get into and talk about how that brand has progressed and where that led to the most recent kind of co-founding of Glamazon and your appearance on Shark Tank as well? at what point in time was it then when you felt as though it was the right move to find a co-founder and turn and have that aha moment of finding that real niche that Glamazon's about?
Mm-hmm, sure. So Lisa Marie has been running for about 10 years now. It's a very stable business. We've had people like Rihanna, Amy Adams, Kate Upton, Kourtney Kardashian, Vanessa Hudgens, a lot of people wearing the brand. And now it's kind of solid in the marketplace and has been so for a while. We have our regular orders from Nordstrom's and Bloomingdale's and Selfridges. So I found myself getting into a routine, and I think this may be a flaw of mine, but I get excited when I start a business. So like that stage where you're scrappy and, you know, you have to build things, and that really excites me. Mm-hmm. And so when the business got into a stage of this is running, this is amazing, it's working, I started to look for other things, other opportunities. I have a little bit of time here. What can I do with this time to fulfill me as a mm-hmm. person? And so I was living in America for around 6 years, and I noticed an emerging trend in the market for at-home beauty services. So it was something that was becoming more prevalent over there. And me with my mindset looked back to Australia, saw there was nothing here, and I thought, hey, that's it. I'm moving back. I'm going to open this business in Australia and work on this now. And so when I moved back to Australia, I launched the business. I called it at the time Glam Crew. Mm-hmm. And I was running the business for a couple of months. It was very, very young. And I'd met an investor just randomly. And he said to me, I really love what you're doing. I want to do something with you. I just don't know what that is. And kind of walked away. And I was like, that's interesting. I've never raised money. I've never accepted money before. And in my first business, I treated it like my baby. So I think it was a completely different mindset to how I am now. But it felt like almost like I didn't want anyone to have a piece of my baby. And I built this from the ground. And it was just, it's an actual progression and learning. So you go through all of these things and then you realize maybe you should detach yourself from your business a little bit. You don't bleed the colors of your logo, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. So I'd met this investor and he went away and found another similar business to mine, but in the salon space, not the freelancer beauty space. And he came back to me and said, I found this business called Glamazon. It's incredible. I want you to meet the girl. If you merge your business with hers, I'll invest in you. And this is the first time I've heard of investing. Like for me, I'd always been scrappy. I bootstrapped a startup to a multi-million dollar company. And so it was just something new and something different. And I thought about it. And the catalyst for accepting that investment for me was I'd spent 10 years on a business building it. And I went through times where I had $5 in my bank account and I didn't know how to pay my staff and I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. And so there was really a lot of ups and downs. And this time I didn't want to go through all of that again. And I wanted a faster road. So for me, it was almost like on a platter here, this is the option, or you can go through another 10 years of really hard, scrappy work. And I've experienced that and I love it and I wouldn't change it for the world. But now I had the opportunity to experience something another way. And so I went for that. And Glamazon, which was Lauren's business, was a salon booking app. My business was a freelancer beauty booking app. And so we merged the two businesses and took the Glamazon name and the tech and my supply and my business model and merged it together and relaunched that about 2 years ago now.
Wow, and it's remained as Glamazon, so you guys kind of adopted that name.
That's right. It's a, like, I have to give it to her. It's a great name.
It is super, super catchy. It's a great job at that. But so that moment when you met her, like, was it a forced relationship almost? Because like you're like, you know, there's another brand I want. There's another girl I want you to meet, and like whether or not you guys get along determines my investment. Like,
right.
Was there a lot of pressure to make sure that you guys got along? What was that like? Explain that.
I met her at a business club that we both belonged to, but we'd never met each other.
Okay.
We were wearing exactly the same outfit when we met. So a first impression is like, okay, this girl's kind of like me. We realized that we lived two streets from each other and we'd never met. We had all the same mutual friends and a very similar mindset. So I feel like this is like the 0.001 percentile of chances happening, but it just was the right thing. We shook after a week on a merger deal.
So
yeah, we had a really quick dating period, and 2 years down the track, we're still working in sync. And I think that's mainly because we both put the business first. So we try to take ego out of it and our own personal feelings and emotions out of it. And things get heated at times. Like you've got to expect that. It happens between co-founders. But we always come back to the point of, is this the best decision for the business? And we go with that. And so because we've been able to be less emotional about our personal feelings, it's worked.
That's incredible. I want to kind of go back to one part as well when you talked about how again and again, these random moments pop up that are the opportunities that you just jump on.
Yeah.
What at what point, or like what do you do? Where do you put yourself? Like where are you during those moments? Are you networking? Like, because you did say that you freed up a bunch of time over the 10 years of having Lisa Marie, the brand. And then you spent that time wanting to dive into something that was fun and starting something new. But meeting investors, like where did you go to do that? Like where was that? What happened there?
That was actually at Cub, Business Club in Sydney. Yeah. And it was, the investor was a friend of a friend of mine from New York. So I actually knew him through someone. And so we had a connection because we knew the same person. And then that conversation led to something else. So although it wasn't staged, and it was at a business club, I do see value in networking and just getting out there and talking to people. And I like to give this advice a lot, because I think that young people who have an idea try to hold it close to their chest and don't want to tell anyone about their idea in case someone steals it. But an idea, a business, is all in the execution. So if you're a good executor, you're going to make it work anyway. And I believe in sharing that vision and getting more people to believe in you. And you never know what's going to happen. And this is a perfect example.
Yeah, it's that phrase, like, better than the jockey, not the horse kind of thing. And I feel as though that's the two of you have been the coolest jockeys, I guess, in regards to that, the beauty industry. What's a recent win in your world? Like, what's something that we can talk about that happened recently that is a win, whether it's from a personal standpoint, whether it's an accomplishment or a goal you've reached?
I want to talk about actually where I was today. So okay. I'm doing a mindfulness and emotional intelligence leadership course. And for me, that's a personal win because I don't have a lot of time to focus on me as a person. So most of my time is spent doing business or in meetings or here and there. And I've been actually able to step outside that for a few days and focus on this course. And it's enabled me to have a deeper understanding of me and my strengths, and also how to communicate with other people. And so, for example, we can talk about an exercise that we did today. And it was basically you sit with a partner and that person tells you about some topic, whatever topic that is, for 2 minutes, and you can't speak and they have to keep speaking for the whole 2 minutes. It's actually very difficult.
On both ends, right?
On both ends, because I feel naturally you want to interject and sort of help the person if they stumble, or give your opinion, or also tell your story if you have a similar story. So it's mindful for you to be considerate of the other person's time and their story, and it gives them the time and space to communicate something. And then after that exercise, you have to repeat back to that person what they said. So there's a little piece in there that validates the person. So, I mean, on a normal basis, if someone's listening to you, you understand if they're kind of not listening, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of intrinsically know. Mm-hmm. And you understand if they're actually really listening, or you understand if they're pretending to listen. So you kind of know. And when you go through an exercise like this, it validates the person, it shows that you respect them, and it can completely change the conversation and the meeting if it's happening in a meeting. So there's lots of little learnings like that that we're going through at the moment that's actually feeding me and my soul, and I feel like that's a big accomplishment for me.
Like active listening, right? Like it's
mindful listening.
Yeah, super important. And like on the topic of mindfulness, is that in the world of business, mental health is such a huge topic at the moment, which it always should be. Mm-hmm. It's something that I think that you're actioning from this whole mindfulness approach, and that's so, it's very inspiring. Where did you go to begin with? Was this something that someone recommended to you, mm-hmm. or what was that like? How did you hear about it?
It's actually through my network of business people. It's actually a course that Google does with all of their tech developers.
Wow.
So it's called the Search Inside Yourself course. And it's a requirement now that they've realized that they need to do these things to help their employees in their lives and in business. And so I'm doing the same course that they do.
That's really cool. Whatever Google does, right? That's what we're going to jump onto. It's definitely going to be good. Look, Lisa, let's kind of get into where do you feel like and how do you feel as though your involvement with Enya is going to benefit the community of Enya? You know, like, what do you want to kind of give back to the community? I know we touched on it at the beginning, but let's kind of dive deeper into sharing those insights around what you've learned from your past and vast experience of business, mm-hmm. and how you can kind of help out that community.
Yeah, so on a broad level, I suppose my experience ranges from a startup and bootstrapping to actually raising money and dealing with investors and understanding if you need to take on investment or if you want to take on investment and what the reasons are around that. So I've had experience in both sides and I'd love to share that because they're very, very different when you bootstrap a company to when you have investors, and there's good and bad to both. Mm-hmm. I also have a lot of just business ops experience that I'd like to share. And it just resonates with me because when I look back when I was starting my businesses, both of them, I didn't really have anyone to advise me on a personal basis. And now I think it's so wonderful that we as business leaders can give back to the community and do something for people that also feeds us, mm-hmm. as a person. So I feel like personally this is beneficial for me as well because I get to give back, and it's almost like something that is, you know, close to my heart. So that's the main reason that I'd love to be involved in Enya and, you know, help out where I can.
Are you a mentor to any existing?
I, on a casual basis, when people ask me, I do help out and mentor, but yeah, I would like to do it more.
Amazing. That's really cool. I think that kind of wraps up the intro for Lisa Marie to get into the Enya, the world of Enya, and kind of introduce you as our new host, which is super exciting. And I think that you add a ton of value to the younger groups and the younger kind of entrepreneurs in our community. So it's super exciting. Was there any last words that you wanted to kind of shout out to anyone specific or?
No, I'm just excited to be here and thank you for having me here. And I'm really excited about getting started on this journey with you.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Enya Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. If you have any questions or feedback, please contact us at www.enya.foundation.